A good evening, everyone. We continue for Kitzer Yoimi. We're up to Zion Cheshvan in the Art Scrolls. It is page 98. We're up to Simon Tess Sif Yud. We continue talking about the halachas of tzitzis. Yesterday, we talked about certain complexities, I suppose, of the halachas of tzitzis that pertain to the tzitzis being in the proper hole. The length of the tzitzis, the amount of knots in the tzitzis, the amount of revolutions was described, going around 7, 8, 11, 13, 5 knots. The amount of section, so to speak, the measurement of the section that is the knots, which is supposed to be one third of the general length and two thirds of the hanging strings, no matter how long that might be. And we continue. Sif Yud, the blessing that one recites. We also said that the bracha must be said when you were standing as you put it on. The blessing that one recites upon a mitzvah remains in effect until the fulfillment of the mitzvah is interrupted. When it is interrupted, a new blessing must be recited upon beginning the mitzvah again. This sif discusses which events constitute an interruption with regard to wearing the talis. So again, if you're in the middle of doing the mitzvah, you're still doing the mitzvah, you don't make a new bracha. Poishet talisa, one who takes off his talis, v'daitai lachzer l'lav shamiyad, with the intention to put it back on right away. Afilu halach lebeis hakisa, even if in the meantime he had gone to the bathroom. And what does he mean, even if he had gone to the bathroom? Because the bathroom is a place that you might not be expected to be wearing a talis at all. Kisha chayzer v'lav shay lo yivarech halav, but he puts his talis back on, he does not recite another blessing over it. The reason for this is that given the mitzvah hadin, since technically the halacha is mutar leleches bo lebeis hakisa, that a person is allowed to go with his talis into the bathroom, technically lachin lo have a hefsek, it's therefore not considered an interruption since it's halachically valid to go there, even though we do not wear our talis nowadays into the bathroom. But since it's acceptable, so it's not considered an interruption of that mitzvah. Abel, however, if he took them off and it was not his intent to put it back on right away, then he changes his mind. You know what? I'm going to put it back on right away because of Shem. Tzarech levarech, a love person must make a bracha again when he does that, because in his mind it was over. So having one's mind decide that he's not going to put his talis back on anytime soon and then changing his mind is a new putting on of his tzitzis, and he must make a new bracha now. Talisa, this is very common. People don't know this halacha. If a person's talis inadvertently slipped off of him, he didn't take it off intentionally. If part of the talus remains on his body, even though the majority of his talus has fallen off, but some part is still, he's holding it onto his shoulder. Since part of the mitzvah still remained on him, he does not need to recite a new bracha because he is still doing the original mitzvah. When straightening it upon himself. But if no part of the talus is left on it, it slips off. This happens to people, and they're still holding it in their hands, but not on their body anymore. Since no part of the mitzvah still remains on his body, because you'll say he's still holding it, though. Isn't that considered part of the mitzvah? No, there's no mitzvah to have tzitzis on your hands. There's a mitzvah to have tzitzis on your body. You have to be wrapped in your tzitzis. Therefore, a person has to make a new bracha if his talis slips off of him and he's not able to keep it on his body in any way. He has to make a new bracha when he puts his talis back on.
What about talus cotton?
If the same would be true, no, this, yes, the same would be true. If a person takes off his talis cotton, but it's a little hard for a talis cotton to slip off of a person because unless their head fell off, it would be hard for the talis to slip off of a person's body. In the olden days, they did wear a small talis cotton, meaning a talis gadol that was actually wrapped around their body, very small. But we'll get into our actual talis cotton that we call our tzitzis. If this happened in the middle of davening, that his talis fell off, in a place where he is not allowed to interrupt and say anything, he does not make a bracha at the time since he cannot interrupt. Rather, he should wait until a point when he is allowed to make a bracha. And like we said before, when you make the bracha and the talis had already been on you, you should hold it in your hand and you make a new bracha. So again, if a person takes it off intentionally, it depends on how long he intends to take it off for. But if falls off unintentionally, a person must make a new bracha in any case. As long as it's fallen totally off of his body. Sifid Aleph. There's no mitzvah for a person to tie tzitzis onto a garment that doesn't belong to him. However, when a person borrows a talis, which is usually worn for the specific purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, there is an assumption that it is given to him in a manner that enables him to recite a blessing and fulfills obligation. So once again, if you don't own it, so therefore you don't make a bracha on it. But if somebody gives you tzitzis with the intent that you should be yoytze the mitzvah of tzitzis with that talis, so he's probably having in mind that I want you to own it for now in order for you to satisfy the main obligation of wearing tzitzis. So that's what we're about to learn here. Mutar litol talis shel chaver. It's permitted for a person to take the talis of another one paid 100 be'akroy ba'alma on occasion. Gam shleimidait, even without his knowledge, olav, to pray with it and to recite the blessings upon wearing it. Although ordinarily one may not borrow another's items that is expressed permission, here it is permitted. Why is it permitted to use someone else's talis if you're not allowed to borrow somebody's stuff without their permission? Because it can be assumed inish le'evad. This is a classic rule that a person is pleased to have mitzvahs performed with his possessions, and that's our assumption. So if it's a case of a mitzvah, the person would let you do it. As long as there's no loss of money involved in using my talis and me using my talis, as long as it's not done consistently, you don't have any loss in that case, and I want you to use my talis even though I never said so. However, you can't take it out of the house or the room where it was placed, because perhaps your friend might be bothered by that. If the talis was folded, a person is expected to fold it once again. One may borrow the talis, but should not. I'm sorry, if it's on Shabbos, I skipped the line. But Shabbos and on Shabbos, a person should not fold it because we're careful. The given that she'in mekaplei mishum iser Shabbos, since a person avoids folding talis on Shabbos because there's a prohibition, which we'll talk about later. Chaveira moichalei, so his friend does not expect him to refold the talis. So again, you're supposed to be using it, but in a limited fashion, in a way that doesn't bother your friend too much. No financial loss, and know that it didn't move around too far. Vashel mechaveira talis, the person who borrows a talis from his friend, rak lalis v'latayra, if he's only borrowing it because he's going to get an aliyah by the Torah, yesh safek im levarcha. There's a question about whether a person should make a bracha in that case. Alkein, therefore, yiskaven she'inu roitz l'knoises. So in that case, a person should have in mind that I'm not buying, so to speak, acquiring even for a limited amount of time at this time. And by doing that, he would not be expected to make a bracha on that talis. He avoids the question. But that's only if it's an individual's talis that you wanted to borrow. But if it's the communal talis, the shul's talis, even if he's only using it to go up to get an aliyah, he has to make a bracha to have the kishalot like his. Now, almost no one does this nowadays. As a fact, almost nobody makes a bracha on the talis of the tzibur. Why that is, I cannot answer, but nobody makes a bracha on the talis of the tzibur nowadays. And it's mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah on note 76. It says, however, many have the custom not to recite a blessing, even in this case. Sif Yud Beis. The halacha requires that the tzitzis strings affixed to a garment be made of the same material as the garment itself. And we spoke a little about this earlier. According to most authorities, tzitzis strings of wool or linen are an exception to this rule and can be used for a garment of any fabric. Let's talk about exactly what we just said. Let's find out. Stam Tzemer Omer B'Tayro Paiskim. The term wool, Tzemer, rather, refers to wool, and hu tzemer achelim ve'elim, and it's really just repeating itself because in English we already translated it, refers to the wool of ewes and rams. It refers to sheep's wool. The weaving of a cloth is done by interlacing two sets of threads called the warp and the weft. If anybody has ever gone to these old places, I force my kids to go to these places, and they love it so much. We go to places where they have a warp, the machine, and there's the threads that go across, and there's the threads that go inside. It was a very, very high-tech way in the olden days in order to be able to make clothing quickly. So there's one is called the warp, and the other direction is called the weft. Regarding a talus in which the warp threads are wool, that's one direction. If you have a shirt, it goes across one way, and then the other threads are going down. So regarding a talus in which the warp threads, that's one direction, are wool, and the other directions, threads are made of silk or the like. So it's wool in one direction and silk in the other way, or the opposite way, that the weft threads are wool and the warp threads are another material. Yerei Shemaim le'yavarech al talis kazeh. A person who fears is very firm, he would not make a bracha on such a talis. Mishum the Yeshem, because some say the gam tzitzis shel semer, that when a person has woolen tzitzis, einim poitrin rak beged shehu mimina. The strings of tzitzis cannot be used unless the garment itself, the strings of wool cannot be used unless the garment itself is made of the same material. V'chein likewise, talis shel meshi, if a person uses a silk talis, which would be just fine in this case, v'atzitzis hein shel semer, if the strings are made of wool, so the talis, the garment is silk, the strings are now wool. Lo yivarech alav, a person should not make a bracha on such a garment. Ela rather, what you should do is yivarech tchila a talis shel semer. You should make a bracha on a regular talis, which with woolen talis, with woolen strings. V'yisalti boy, wrap himself v'achachi yisir, then take that off. V'yisalti bazeh, and then you're going to put on the silk garment with the woolen strings, because there's a suffix whether you can make a bracha on that. Ach, however, in the case of a silk talis, im gam hatzitzis shel meshi, if they're consistent, if the garment itself is silk and the strings are also silk, I've heard, never heard of that. Yechel levarich, all of a person would be able to make a bracha because, once again, the strings and the garment are the same material. Look at that. I was right. Shel meshi, it's not common in our country to have halachically valid silk tzitzis strings. The tzitzis being interviewed lishma, because to be able to make the strings of tzitzis, it needs to be spun with the intent and raw material of silk that they did not spin it that way. Ve'im. And if it's a silk talis, mixa sis shel meshi mitzvah shel tzemer, if there were part of the strings were silk and part of the strings were wool, garet fe, that's even worse. Ve'ein lasa ken, a person should not do that. So again, we a person's strings should be the same material as the garment itself. Sif yud gimel. When the tzitzis are affixed to the garment, it must be a total, like we already said, of 12 thumb breadths in length. The strings should be 12 thumb breadths in length. This sif discussed the halachas that apply when some of the tzitzis strings were severed after they had been affixed properly. So they tore off. This happens very, very often. My chashuv yingel was biking and his tzitzis tore. Tzitza, if you have tzitzis, shenifsek men achut mi'arba sachutin, of which one of the four tzitzis strings, remember there are four and they're looped through. So if one of those four are fixed to each corner of the garment, was severed. So he says now, Shahin Kful Nishman, rather, not what I just said. There are eight total strings. And so, yeah, actually, exactly what I said. You have four and it goes through. And now it is eight when it comes out of the hole. But after it already got torn, one of these four got torn, it's still enough to be able to tie it into a bow. That's the minimum amount. The Hainu Arba Agudon, once again, we're going back to our thumb widths. Apparently, people need to get comfortable with the width of a thumb as a measuring tool. So if that amount is still four thumb breadths left, so he says, where if two of the strings were severed, and two of these strings still have four thumb widths of length, four thumb widths of length, and the other two strings were totally still complete, their length being the proper measure, then it's still fine. If you have four, which are going to be folded over, so four of these, two of those have been now shortened, if there's still four widths of a thumb, that's fine. Aval im nifsiku shloisha chutin, but if three of the four, are now much shorter, and even if they have that limited, the minimum amount, like we just said before, the fourth is still totally complete, or one string was severed, but it doesn't have this four thumb widths, even if the other three are very long, it's puzzle, and he says, interesting. He says, unless it's a pressing situation where there's no other tzitzis available, it sounds like in a pressing situation you could rely on a kula that would be okay. So just summarize what we just said just for a second there. If the of the four strings which you start with in the tzitzis, two of them are torn, but it still remains four thumb widths. So then that's fine. If it's three, that's not fine. And if one of them is torn to the point that it's not even four thumb widths long, so then it is puzzle. Therefore, if one of the strings was severed, now it's all eight strings that I've gone through, and one of the strings have now been torn. Even if that one string gets torn all the way to the very top of you, it's of course it's still kosher, because with this one string that was torn is only half of one of the four strings, because the four strings are now eight strings, and if you tear one whole string, that's only half of one of the four strings. You still have the other whole half. Of course, you have enough, much more than four thumb widths, then still kosher. Vim nifsek shnei, but now, and if two of the strings were severed, so two of eight, mehem, and it does not have the length of four widths of the eight, if you can be concerned, shema shnei chutanela, that perhaps these two strings are part of one long string. Right, you have two, but you don't really know. Is it one long string that has gone through? So now I'm missing one total string in Kenatzitzapsul. Then the scissors are puzzle. Aval imhuvatuch. But if you're absolutely sure, Shehim Mishnei Chutin, that they are from two different strings, keep going. How do you know that? Shabbashask Shios, like we said earlier, that one of the beautifications of your mitzvah tzitzis is to make sure that the four on one side and the four on the other stay always on that same side. So you kept it on the right side. Arba Rashim Shabbatzadze, Ima Arba Rashim Shabbatzadze, the four ends on one side, the four ends, and the other side stayed on their side. Hey, like we said earlier, and you just lost two of your strings on one of your sides. Again, I'm holding my scissors here. I look down, and there are four on one side and four on the other side. And when we made my scissors, we were very careful that it should stay consistent. The same four are on the side all the time. So if I lost even two of these scissors on one side, it would still be kosher because I still have the whole half of the other side of the scissors. Certainly from two different strings. Since you still have from that string, the length of four widths of your thumb, it's totally kosher. If even one string was severed, if the now this is a different thing. If on where the hole is on your garment, one of the strings was torn up on top there, so then psula, then you, it is possible because now you've lost one of the original four strings, and that's a problem. Zesha amarna, this that we said, that if one of the strings became severed, you still had the amount that you could tie a bow, which we said was four thumb widths in length, that it's still kosher. So davka in b'shas asiya, that's only at the time, if at the time when the tzitzis were made, how you call a chutin or gashir, that they were of the proper length when you made your tzitzis. Only afterwards became severed. Avalim b'shas asiya, but if when you made it they were already too short, so if it was when you made it was too short, so then it's not going to be kosher. It's only kosher if when you made it it was perfect, and later on part of it became torn to the point where you still have left from that string four thumb widths in length. So very specific halacha. It's good to remember this because this is one of the most consistent problems that people have with tzitzis, that their tzitzis get torn for whatever reason. It happens, and they now look, are my tzitzis still kosher? Well, if you have one string of that was torn of your eight, then it's absolutely still kosher. In fact, I have a cousin. He went to Rav Shore. He asked him, "Is there even a hiddur? Is there even a beautification of the mitzvah that I should redo my whole thing, and get new tzitzis?" And Rav Shore said, "No, you don't have to worry about it at all." So you see that it's totally, totally kosher as long as when you originally made the tzitzis, that it was of all the proper length. So a good thing to know, very good to focus on for people to realize the halacha. Everyone should have a